We have been in a series of messages from the words of Jesus and have looked at some of the deep things that Jesus has said. And there's so many things in His Gospels that help us to understand who we are and who the heart of God is. And we've looked at some of His parables in this series and the amazing stories that He has told, as well as some of the interactions that Jesus has had with people. We learn a lot by watching His example. We learn a lot just by listening to His words. And then especially over the last few weeks, we have looked at the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7 are a collection of things that Jesus said called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is a beautiful collection of some of the most insightful things that we hear from the words of Jesus, I believe. And everything Jesus says to us is powerful. And kind of the Sermon on the Mount is that small package, but it has so much in it of wise counsel for us. And in places, when we read in the Sermon on the Mount and in Jesus' teaching, we find words that are kind of real encouraging, and they're comforting. Sometimes to help us when we might feel afraid. Sometimes, though, when we read the words of Jesus, we read His challenge. We read Him saying things that aren't as easy for us to hear sometimes, and we need to be reminded of things that Jesus says. And sometimes He speaks words of warning to us. So there really is quite a range of counsel from the words of Jesus, even in the Sermon on the Mount. But in every place that Jesus talks to us, especially from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to our hearts. And today I want for us to look at one of those things that Jesus said, again, about the heart of man and how we deal with something that is very important and relevant to us in life. Sometimes Jesus speaks about faith, sometimes about our priorities, and sometimes about our relationships. And especially today, I want to look at an area of relationships that Jesus speaks about. We do know that Jesus understands who we are. The Bible tells us that He was tempted in every way like we are, and that somehow Jesus understands what our challenges are. He understands what we go through in life. He understands where we struggle. He understands where we mess up. And so the counsel that we get from His words are words to help us. I think of Jesus. I think of the picture of the great shepherd and how there He is, trying to help us, guide us, lead us, restore us. And so His words are given to us for that reason. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking to His disciples, to His followers. In other words, putting that in today's language, Jesus is speaking to the church today in these words. I want to read specifically Jesus' words in a few minutes and some other scriptures about how we deal with conflict. What happens inside of us when we have conflict? And what does the Bible say to us about dealing with conflict? Obviously, we know that conflict is a part of life. And there's not a person I know or I've known who've never had conflict. I would imagine most of you, if you would tell your story, would include chapters in your life of conflict with someone in your family, in your workplace, maybe in the church, in other places. And especially this morning, I want us to think about what Jesus says to us in the church about conflicts. I would like to tell you that when you become a Christian, you won't have any more conflicts, but we know that's not true. We know that it rains on the just and the unjust, and conflicts are a part of life, sometimes a very painful part of life, and Christians are not immune to it. In fact, sometimes Christians end up having more conflict, maybe because of how they live and the things that are important to them, and sometimes brings them in conflict with other people. It seems like we may not be able to avoid conflict, but we know that the Scriptures speak to us about what happens to us when we're in conflict and how God wants us to deal with conflict when we are there. Dealing with our conflicts can set us apart as people who honor and love God. We probably have about the same amount of conflict as people who are not Christians, I would imagine, but how we deal with conflict that we feel can be a great example to people on the outside. How do we deal with things that hurt us? How do we handle our feelings? And How do we handle the past? And how do we look at people when they have hurt us? These are all things that Jesus and the Scriptures talk to us about in the Word. One of the first things that comes to my mind when I think about conflict and how important it is for us to look within. Whenever we have conflict, whether it's in our marriage or whether it's in the workplace or whether it's a relationship within the church, one of the first things that we should be reminded of is how important it is to look on the inside, to look at who we are. The book of James, chapter 4, talks about where conflicts come from. This scripture doesn't tell us that every conflict comes from this, but most conflicts do. Most conflicts come, James chapter 4 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. The truth is, most conflicts in life come because we don't get what we want. That sounds like a very selfish way to look at it, but it's really pretty true. And if we would look at the conflicts in our lives and we would step back from them, we would realize that a lot of the conflicts that come to our lives come because we don't get what we want. The people don't see our world like we do, and people don't respond like we might, and so we don't get what we want. Whether we're believers or not, we have the tendency to want our own way, either our way or somebody else's way. I mean, we all have opinions. We all think things should be done a certain way, and we all have certain needs and desires. And sometimes when we get involved in conflict, we forget to step back and look at what is it that's really going on in our hearts and our spirits. What is it that we have not gotten that we want? And James reminds us how important it is to be able to step back and do that, to look at human nature, being able to step back from our conflicts to see those tendencies that are inside the human heart. What causes fights and quarrels among you? And then there's another tendency that can be a part of our nature, and that tendency that I want to talk about right before we look at the words of Jesus is sometimes that tendency inside of us to be offended too easily. I want to say this morning about the tendency to be offended, how destructive that can be to relationships, how destructive it can be when we kind of live on that edge of always being hurt by someone and not having thick enough skin so that people who look at things different than we do or maybe talk different than we do or maybe don't have the values that we do or don't have the priorities that we do, we have a tendency to allow walls to build up between us and feel offended at people who are different than we are. Sometimes I believe that the tendency to be offended is too easily a tendency to allow walls to be built up in relationships between people. Sometimes it's hard for us to sort out the difference between minor differences and things that really are important. And we can kind of live in that world where we're always right on the edge of if somebody doesn't live up to what we believe they should or treat us the way that they should, then we feel offended by that and the feelings rise up and the tendency tends to build up a wall in relationship, being offended. Sometimes when Satan uses this particular area, and this is one of those areas that Satan can hook you depending on your personality. There's all kinds of different personalities here today. Some people don't have this issue whatsoever. They can't hardly be offended. But there are other people that Satan uses this inroads into their heart, into their spirit. And for them, that's an area of weakness, that weakness of being offended, of being hurt by other people. And sometimes people in the church, in the body of Christ, they almost live a whole life of feeling separate from the body, just feeling like nobody really cares about them. And it's because on the inside they've developed a pattern where they've been hurt. And maybe they've been hurt deeply in the past, and that's kept them from being able to be healthy and not allow things to become so personal for them. And so as we think about conflict, I just want to mention this morning about how that tendency can be to be offended. And then finally, the very last thing before we look at the words of Jesus, on the other side of being offended too easily, we also can have a different personality. We can have that personality of being insensitive to other people and just not really caring about other people's feelings. You know, if this is a tendency with you, maybe you're a little bit too hard. Maybe you've not taken enough time to to develop a love and a care for people so that you too quickly don't care what other people feel about you, and you don't care how you come across, and you say, I'm who I am, and if somebody don't like it, too bad. Well, I also want to say, equally with being offended, is that tendency to have an attitude of arrogance toward other people. On both sides of this, conflict can come to our relationships because we're not holding in that balance of what God wants us to do. And so this morning, as we look at the words of Jesus, I want you to think about those two things. There's a scripture that talks about allowing Satan to get his foot in the door. And I realize that in relationships, either by being offended or sometimes not being aware of how we come across to other people, we allow Satan in the door. We allow him just to get his foot in the door of our lives and our relationships and in our marriage or in the workplace. And we allow Satan just enough so he can begin to work and divide and create feelings. And what do we do with our feelings? I've said many times before, you can't help your feelings. Feelings are a part of who you are. But we as Christians, the Bible talks to us a lot about how we handle those feelings and how we handle those conflicts that we feel on the inside. Two things especially that I want to read that Jesus talked about broken relationships. Two sides of a coin, if you would. The first one is this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. If you want to read along with me these verses, Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, Jesus talks about what are we supposed to do as Christians when someone feels hurt by us, when somebody's been offended by us. Listen to the words of the Master. Chapter 5, verse 23, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. I read that awful fast. I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to read it again and ask you to listen slowly, quietly to these words. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Thank you. You may be seated. I noticed some things that Jesus said here, but I also noticed some things that Jesus didn't say. Jesus did not talk about who was at wrong in the story. He doesn't place blame. He doesn't say that if you realize that somebody is unhappy with you or you've offended somebody that you were at fault for what you did or what you said. It almost seems like Jesus avoids completely who's at fault and who's right. See, so many times in conflict, it seems like we get caught up in who's right. Who did exactly what's right and who did what's wrong? And the tendency that sometimes we have, and sometimes we in our humanity have, is we go to extremes. That person is completely right, that person is completely wrong. And of course, I'm the one that's right. And we tend to look at conflict by who's right and who's wrong. But in this part, in this story, what Jesus is saying, it speaks to me, Jesus doesn't talk about who's right. He talks about relationships. He talks about people. He talks about feelings. He talks about when somebody's been hurt, what do you do about it? As Christians, we're to handle that different than people in the world. You see, in the world, if somebody's hurt, then too bad for them. You know? They're too soft, or they were wrong to start with, or they brought it on themselves. They messed up their lives, so who cares about them? That's how the world looks at people who get hurt. You know, we might reach out and help them a little bit. That's not the heart that Jesus wants us to have about people that are hurting. What does Jesus say? He says, if you come and you worship me and you seek me, but you realize that a brother's been hurt by you, what do? You go right to them and you deal with them. And you make it right. You do what you can to reconcile to your brother. He says, first, the word is first, go to your brother and be reconciled to him. Now, we know that it takes two people to reconcile. I don't believe that God says anywhere, or Jesus says anywhere, that you can reconcile with somebody that's not willing to, but the point of Jesus' words here is that He calls us to try. He calls us to have a certain attitude. He calls us to have a certain way of looking at people that are hurting, that's always reaching out to them. And, you know, our first reaction is not to move on with life. You know, so easily when we come and offer our gift, whatever Jesus was saying, it'd be easy just to walk right past those people that maybe have been left behind, maybe those that have been trounced, maybe those that have been hurt by their own actions or by others, and say, let them fix it themselves. That's not the heart of Jesus. He says, if you come and you offer your gift and you find out, or you know, what word that He uses here, if you remember that your brother has something against you, whose job is it to go to him? Jesus says, it's your job. If you know that there's somebody in the body of Christ that have been hurt and offended by you, it's your job to go to them. It's not their job to come to you. Well, we'll come to that next. So what are you supposed to do when you know that somebody's been hurt? You're supposed to go to them, and Jesus tells us that. Jesus doesn't put any blame, but He puts a responsibility on the one who knows that the brother is offended to go to them. I think the best advice is to go and to do something that the Scriptures tell us to be very careful that we do in conflict, and that is be very careful to listen to people. One of the hardest things it is when people are hurting is to listen to them. It's so much easier to go and give advice. It's so much easier to go and say, I know what your problem is. I know why you've been hurt. I know why you've messed up your life. But we're reminded several places in the Scripture of how important it is to listen to people. I want to say, in conflict, when somebody's been hurt, one of the most important things you can do is to go with an open spirit and listen to them, to listen carefully to them, to try to hear what they say and what they feel. You know, when we do that, sometimes we find out that people have a whole different perspective than we may have thought that they would have. And maybe they see the world very different than we do. When we stay in our old world and we don't listen, then we don't hear what people feel and what they need. So the Scriptures teach us to have a heart that listens, also a heart that is teachable. You know, sometimes when other people have been hurt, we tend to dismiss that pretty quickly and blame it on them. But sometimes we might find out there's more to the story than what we'd blame them for. Sometimes when we listen to people and the hurts that they have, we find out that maybe there's a part that we can play in their healing, and maybe even a part in what's hurt them in the past, especially if someone's offended at you personally. Maybe if you have a heart that can stop talking and start listening, maybe God can use you to go to them and break down some walls that have been built up. Humble listening. I'm thinking of the book of James. And what is James? Another scripture about James and what he says about listening. He says, my dear brothers, again, James is writing to the church here. He's writing to you and me. So I think this scripture applies pretty good to me and to this idea of how do we deal with conflict. Listen to what James says. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, God would have us to be very careful to listen to other people about conflict and about other things. You know, when we hurt, when we've been hurt by people, when something's happened in the past, it's so easily to have all the opinions, so easily to know exactly what's right and what's wrong and all that. But I want to say to us today that there's a part of listening that we, as God's people, we need to remember. We should be quick to listen. We should be really quick to listen and slow to speak. I mean, boy, those are opposites. So many times when we have conflict, it's just the opposite. Boy, we get it out and we say it. Boy, because that's right and that's truth and that's the way it is. And we've got to get it out and get it said. And maybe it'd be better for us a little more often to listen to what other people feel. It may be that God can teach us when we listen too. And so James reminds us that we need to be very quick to listen and slow to speak and then slow to become angry. It's not our subject this morning, but the whole issue of anger and how we deal with our feelings. And James says, anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So God, he's speaking to the church today. The Proverbs, another scripture says, and one translation says, a quiet answer turneth away wrath. A quiet answer turneth away wrath. When you are willing to listen to somebody that's been hurt, you're able to hear what they feel in their heart, It may be that by the gentleness of the way that you listen, you can help them to work through where they're at. Many conflicts, I believe, can be resolved when there's a spirit of humility and listening. It's when we all get into it and we've got to have our say and we've got to have the last word and we've got to be the one that sets the other person straight, that the ability to resolve conflict kind of melts away. But somehow God reminds us of the importance of being able to listen and to hear. First go, Jesus said, and be reconciled to your brother. Reconciliation is an important word to a Christian, to the body of Christ, to the church. Reconciliation is the goal that the Spirit of God gives us in broken relationships. We know that we can't always reconcile, but we can't always forgive people. We can forgive people who have harmed us. That doesn't mean that there will be a reconciliation, because reconciliation takes more, but God calls us to do everything that we can. If our brother has something against us, He calls us to go and first to be reconciled, to do all that we can. Sometimes we give up too quickly. Sometimes we give up too easily. And in the body of Christ and in the church, I think sometimes we don't persevere enough in this area of broken relationships. I think we settle sometimes and say it can't be done, we can't work through this, it's just not worth it. But I read the words of Jesus and I read the scripture and I'm reminded He puts on my heart and He puts on your heart that deep call to do everything that you can when a brother is hurt and a brother is offended. You notice the focus, it seems to me what Jesus is saying, the focus is on relationships. It's not on who's right. It's not on setting everything straight, but it's on relationships. Maybe you've been offended by someone. Maybe there's somebody here today and you'd fall into that category. I've been hurt in the past. Most of us have, goodness, not if. Probably not anybody here that's not been hurt deeply in the past by someone. What's God want you to do with that? What's God want you to do with that? What would bring glory to Him? The ability to be able to forgive. Not to forget. That's never told to forget. Only God can forget hurts in the past. Somehow He's able to do that. I don't know how. But humans can't do that. But there is some things that we can do. And we're called to do. And I say to the church, we need to do. There's times I feel like in the church we need to do a lot better than we're doing. There's some hurts in this church that go back a long time. Is it a closed subject for you? Have you decided that God can't do it? If you go to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, it's not easy sometimes. It's not easy not to give up. It's not easy to say it's worth it. We need Jesus to help us. We need the Great Shepherd. One of the reasons we're having communion today, because we need to profess we need His help about broken relationships. We need to say, God, is there anything You want me to do? Is there anything in my heart and spirit that You want to examine and look at? Because we know that if we don't deal with hurts, they can become bitterness. How painful that is. Hebrews chapter 12 says, see to it that no one of you misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Well, bitterness can be so pervasive in your spirit, and you might not even know what it is. Sometimes we hear what people say and we know, boy, there's got to be a story behind that. And we know that. And oh, we got to pray that God helps us not to allow bitterness, because it can defile. It can defile us. It can take away our joy. It can take away our ability for people to see the light of joy in our hearts and our spirits. Then Jesus talked about the other side of the coin too. He talks about if your brother sins against you, kind of the other side, and they're related, of course. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you have won over your brother. Then he goes on to talk about it. The brother doesn't respond, and those words are painful, and they're full of the judgment of the Lord. But we have a lot in this verse right here that reminds us that the best way to resolve conflict is to go directly to a person that's hurt us. Sometimes we have a tendency to talk to the person that's hurt us last. One of the most painful things I sometimes see in broken relationships is the two people that should be talking face-to-face, direct, one-on-one. They'll talk to everybody else but not talk to each other. See, we got to be different as Christians. We got to go right to the person. We got to go to them. And one-on-one, Jesus tells us, there's something about being able to resolve conflict that begins at this point. It doesn't mean that every conflict will be resolved. I'm not trying to say that every conflict in your life will be resolved the way that God wants it to, because it takes two people to choose to do that. But I'm giving you the path where we're told we are to go as Christians. We're to take a certain route, a certain road. You might say it this way, we're to take the high road. We're to take a certain path of reconciliation and do everything that we can. This is where we're to begin. I think of the attitude that we should have when we go to our brother. And there's four things that come to my mind from the scriptures. What do you do when somebody sinned? When a brother has sinned? Again, this is different. This is brothers. This is not people out in the world. But what if somebody in your life who's a Christian and they love the Lord and they've done wrong? What are you supposed to do? Well, the first principle is you go one-on-one and you go directly to them. You don't gossip about them. You don't talk about them to other people. You go directly to them and you tell them why you believe that they're wrong. There's some other things that are really important to do when you believe somebody else has done wrong. The first one is what I mentioned earlier, the importance of looking within. Jesus talked about it when we see a fault in another person. He says, first of all, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly, remove the speck from your brother's eye. So many times when we've been hurt by somebody, there's more than what's on the surface. So many times there might be some things on the inside of us that had more to do with the cause and had more to do with a broken relationship than we might first realize. And so I'm just reminded how important it is when you feel like somebody's hurt you, first of all, look on the inside. First of all, ask God to examine you and your life and your heart and your experiences, and ask God to look within you. It may be that God can find a teaching place inside of you and may be able to help you to see, maybe see why that other person has done what they have, and God can help you to have discernment of how to bring about a reconciliation. Also, another principle is how important it is to speak the truth in love. The Apostle Paul talks about how we're to always speak the truth in love. And if you're speaking out of condemnation, or you're speaking out of you just know you're right and the other person's wrong, that's not speaking out of love. That brings damage. That makes it impossible for people to reconcile when you don't speak the truth in love. But Paul says speaking the truth in love, how important it is that our words be words of love when we confront another person. Another principle when we confront someone about the truth is that we remember that we're not the judge, but God is. We got to remember that we're not the depositories of truth. We might think we're right. Most of us think we're right. Anybody not think you're right, you know? We all think we're right, of course. We've got to remember that we're not infallible. There have been some times in my life when I was so sure about something and I was so dead wrong. I feel ashamed to admit it. We're all vulnerable. We all see things a certain way, but we can't live with the attitude that it's us that has it all right. We always got to live with a spirit that says, God, you teach me what's right. See, God can discern to the deepest places of the heart. Who are you to judge someone else's servant to his own master? He stands or falls. I have plenty just to try to get myself right. I don't need to be judging you. I don't need to judge your motives. I don't need to be focused on who you are or what you are. But first of all, I stand before God, and someday I'm going to come before God and give an accountability of my life. Every one of us will do that. We got to remember that God is the one that holds the truth. God is the one that knows the heart. God's the one that knows our past. God knows everything about us. He's the one that can make us stand. And He's able to make us stand. The scripture goes on to say, when we're in conflict, it's important to remember that it's not our judgment that matters. It's the judgment of God. The best we can do is encourage people to follow Him and seek Him. And the fourth thing to mention this morning about when we're in conflict and we're confronting someone is the importance of a humble heart all the time. When we're in conflict, it's really hard to do this. It's really hard not to get our dander up. And sometimes if we're not good at self-control, our words and our attitude and our spirit toward other people, and we can become so arrogant in a nice way. Arrogant in a nice way. We're just so sure we're right. Galatians says, brothers, if anyone is overtaken with a fault, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Always with a humility and a gentleness, a meekness. There's so many scriptures that just give us principles and things to think about with broken relationships. And I'm reading some of them today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. There's a lot of words that we have throughout the Bible to remember in broken relationships. And I'll just take a moment to mention them very quickly this morning. And there's many others, but here's the ones that are on my mind. How important it is for us to have an attitude of patience toward one another, an attitude of patience. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, where's the idea that we're all supposed to be perfect here? You know, we fall short. You fall short. I fall short sometimes, some more than others. Are you perfect? I mean, relative to God, are you perfect? Think of how patient God is with us. Somehow He tells us that we're supposed to incorporate that into the body of Christ and into relationships. Patience. How important it is that we are patient with one another. How important it is that we have a spirit of mercy. Think of my favorite passage from the Old Testament. It talks about what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. It's kind of my life verse. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. We've got to do what's right. We've also got to be merciful to people that fall short. Boy, God is so merciful. I mean, think of what He took on the cross in His mercy. We're told to be merciful to each other. It's not our job to pin everybody against the wall when they fall short, but to reach down and help them up. Do all we can to encourage them on the journey. Mercy. I could go on forever. Grace. Unmerited favor of God. Thankful that God gave me something I don't deserve. And importance of forgiveness. Kind of a whole other area, how important it is to have a forgiving spirit. All important in the eyes of God. Forgiveness is always a choice. There is no one out there of whom it can be said, it's true, I cannot forgive someone. Forgiveness is always a choice. Feelings are different. Reconciliation is different. But forgiveness is a choice that God can help us to make when we choose to. Thinking of some stories of forgiveness, and I don't have the quote exactly, it just came to my mind. Abraham Lincoln, remember I read a lot about him back a long time ago, but as the war was coming to an end and the North was sure to win and it was really close to the end, somebody said to Lincoln, "How are you going to treat those traitors?" Lincoln's response was, "As if they never went away." It's a power of forgiveness that's hard for us to understand, isn't it? In our first service this morning, somebody shared of a tragedy here in our county. I don't know the details, but a two-year-old that died, and the lady that was responsible for it, the mother of the child, apparently went to her hospital room. And prayed for her. Told her she forgave her. Forgiveness is possible. But it takes more than we are. It takes something far beyond our own human abilities to forgive and let things go from the past. Forgiveness is one of those issues at the core of what Christianity is. And it's always a choice. We do need the power of Jesus to help us in this area. We need it in broken relationships. We need it when we struggle with our feelings. Because we have feelings. We all have feelings about things. But God can help us if we give Him everything in our heart and our lives. I'd like for us to have a prayer time before we receive communion about our relationships. Maybe you're overly sensitive. Maybe you've been offended a lot in the past. Maybe because you've taken things too personal or you've let things get to you. Maybe on the other hand, you're kind of a thick-skinned person and you've hurt some other people, maybe not intentionally. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you need to go to and say, "I'm sorry that there's this gulf between us." Maybe you need to forgive. But let's pray together today. We just stand together as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today, and thank You for the Good Shepherd. Thank You, Jesus, that You love us so much and You care deeply about our needs and our lives and who we are and where we've been and everything about us. And I'm so thankful today for who You are. So thankful today that You already know the journey we're on. You know where our weaknesses are. You know where Satan would try to tempt us and pull us away, and I'm so thankful today that You've already paid the price and You've given Your life for us, and that through the cross, through Jesus dying for our sins and all of our sins being laid on Him, that we have been freed from those things. I'm thankful for forgiveness in You. Also thankful for the strength that You give us. I pray, God, that we would put our faith and trust in You, and whatever it is, God, that may be in our hearts and our lives, that we would know that You care deeply about them and You want to help us with that. You don't want to bring condemnation to Your people, but You want us to feel a freedom and a cleansing and a help to the practical things that we feel. And so, God, we come to You today in communion time as a people dependent upon You. I pray that our hearts would seek You and sense Your Spirit, and You would help us where we need it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.